Wow. How silly was that? How silly. Empty cupboard thought that she was going to get light from a light bulb without plugging the light bulb in. She thought she's going to get apples from a little twig, a branch. How silly. She's never going to do that, is she? But do you know what? We can all be just as silly. Christian or not. Just as silly. You see, if you're not connected to a lamp, you're not going to get any light. If you're not connected to a branch or tree, you're not going to get any fruit. And Jesus' point today is, if you're not connected to Jesus, you're not going to get any life or any fruit. That's the big thing today. Without Jesus, you'll be lifeless and fruitless. If you look in your Bibles, verse 5, that's what we're going to be looking at today. So Jesus' main point. Without Jesus, you'll be lifeless and fruitless. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is saying, he's like a vine. Or in our kind of more modern illustration, he's the lampstand. Jesus is saying, we're the branches. Or in an updated edition, we're the bulb. You see, if we're connected to him, well, the Bible says that's talking about a Bible word called union. We talk about union with Jesus. It just means being joined to him by his spirit through faith, through trusting him, through turning to him. So if we're connected to Jesus, we will be full of life and full of fruit. That's the point of verse 15, isn't it, really? Oh, verse 5, sorry. Verse 5 says, I am the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you're connected to Jesus, you will bear much life and you will be full of fruit. Why? He says it, doesn't he? But you're thinking, why? Well, because what is Jesus's becomes yours. When you're joined to Jesus, what is his becomes yours. Just as the life of a tree becomes the life of the branch and fruit grows, just as the electricity of the lamp joins to the bulb, it becomes the bulbs too. And so with Jesus, what is Jesus's becomes the Christians when they're joined together. What is his is yours. We'll become full of life. When Jesus' sin-bearing death, his sinless life, his resurrection life, it becomes, when you come to Jesus, it becomes yours. You become full of life. And that's what the Bible talks about, life to the full. Living, growing, productive, alive. Not dead or dry or dull. You'll be full of life if you're joined to Jesus. Similarly, you'll be full of fruit, won't you? If you're joined to Jesus, the Son of God, well then when you're joined to him, his Father becomes your Father. His Spirit becomes your Spirit. And you are full of fruit. If you're connected to Jesus, you're full of life and you're full of fruit. Now, we've got to ask the question, haven't we? What is fruit? Children, I don't know if you heard that and you thought, is Jesus promising that oranges are going to come out my ears or like kiwis in my armpits? That's not what he's promising. I'll tell you that now, which is a good thing, isn't it? Now, if you ask different Christians, they may have different answers to that. What is the fruit that Jesus is promising? Some Christians will say, well, I think it's probably Christian character. Yeah, people becoming more like Jesus. Some will say, well, I think it's Christian conversions. More people following Jesus. Character, conversions, or both, possibly. I think the clue is what we're rooted in. And children and adults alike, I'm going to need your help with this one. I was a teacher, but I don't know everything. I know. Now, what do you expect to get from a grapevine? Good. Good. Yeah, I got that one. What do you expect to get from an apple tree? Well, as I was mulling this over, I was struggling to think what a dragon fruit would be, but what kind of tree that would be. What would it be? Dragon fruit tree, maybe? I'm not sure. A dragon tree, maybe. But the point is, well, what happens when you're connected to Jesus, to the Jesus tree, what are you going to expect? Not oranges and apples. You're going to expect from the Jesus tree, Jesus fruit. kind of tumbling out of you. You'd expect, if you have God living in you, then what's he going to do? He's going to be coming, bursting out of you. You're going to be flourishing, bearing fruit in keeping with that. Jesus fruit all over the place. It should be coming out of mouth, ears, hands, everywhere. And you're wondering, what on earth is Jesus fruit? What's he talking about? In your own time, it might be worth reading through 1 John, which is what we read from at the beginning of the service. That first letter that John writes to a church. And he just gives you what the fruits of the Christian are. What would you expect to come out of a Jesus follower? Three things. Firstly, listening to Jesus, to what he says about you, to what he says about himself. Listening to Jesus. Another fruit would be living like Jesus. He says, we know that we're in him if we live like him. He also says, loving like Jesus. How can you say that you follow a God of love when you don't love? So what is the Christian fruit? What is the Jesus fruit? Listening to Jesus, loving Jesus, and living like him. But we've got a problem. Without Jesus, gone. Children, I need your eyes on this bowl. Without Jesus, so, has it gone out? Yeah, because it's disconnected. Now, what did verse 5 say? It said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So, if you are disconnected from the light bulb, from the lamp, the bulb's not going to shine. And if you're disconnected from Jesus, your life's going to go out. No life, no light. Now, consider all that you have in Jesus. You have, in Jesus, what do you have? You have a new family. You have forgiveness, you've got a new future, and you've got new fruit. Now consider all that, and consider it gone. If you have that with Jesus, and then you don't have Jesus, what do you not have? You don't have fruit, you don't have forgiveness, you don't have a future, you don't have his Father, you don't have anything. And that's Jesus' point in verse 6. And what do you do with lifeless, fruitless branches? Look at verse 6. You throw them away. Yeah, so I've got a vine right here. All right, children. Need a volunteer. Toby, come on. Can you come and take this with me? This is a vine. Just take that away. You can go take that with you and sit down. Thank you very much. Now, Quinn. What do we do with a branch that hasn't got any fruit on and hasn't had any fruit for a long time? What do you think we should do with it? I'll give you a clue. It's a fire. Should we get rid of it? It's not growing anything. Let's go put it in the fire. Should we go put it in the fire? Brilliant. Thank you very much, Greg. Now, it's a harmless illustration, but a pretty sobering truth, isn't it? That's what Jesus says in verse 6. That's the logic. Let me read it. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, the Jesus logic marches towards that, doesn't it? Verse 4, if you don't remain in me, verse 4, if you do remain in me, verse 5, if you don't remain in me, verse 6. It's kind of inevitable. What happens with dead, dry branches? You just throw them away. And we know what Jesus is talking about. So without Jesus, you'll not only be lifeless and fruitless, but ultimately hopeless. Destined for the fire, that's what he says. Now, wonderfully, in Jesus, that need not be the case. And our next song just is a great reminder of that. It's a reminder that there is a day when Jesus will come back and judge. But it's a reminder that our hope on that day is Jesus himself, the judge and the savior. So we're going to stand to sing together, then we'll come back and finish off with this. Now, children, I've forgotten already. What were we saying? Without Jesus, you will be something lifeless and fruitless. And we saw what happened, didn't we? The branch that was here, it's not here anymore. It was lifeless and it was fruitless. But it's all very well knowing something, but you think, well, what's that got to do with me? What should I do in response? And this is where, children, you're going to ask the adults, And adults, you're going to ask the adults too, in case you're not sure. This is a time where you get your Bible and you think, looking at chapter 15, I can't remember, what page is it, if you could shout it out? 1083. We're just looking verses 1 to 8. Children, you need to go and find an adult who can help you. Can they tell you what Jesus says you should do? There's one main thing that comes up again and again and again. It's quite a repeated idea. What is the main thing? Go and find an adult. Have a look through verses 1 to 8. This is a repeated idea. What does Jesus say you should do in response? And a hand up when you think you've got it. It's a repeated word, verses 1 to 8. Five, four, three, two, one. Great. Oh, great. Okay, thank you. I'm sure Amelia knows it anyway. Quinn, what do you reckon? Remain. Brilliant. Remain. And now just one another challenge. How many times does Jesus say it in 8 verses? Just to get the point. Got Amelia? 8, yeah, brilliant. Depending on what translation you have, some of it, some will have 7, some will have 8, depending on how they word it. But the point is, 7 or 8 times in 8 verses would suggest to me that it's a pretty major emphasis that Jesus is saying. Yeah, without Jesus, you'll be lifeless and fruitless. Therefore, remain. Remain. It's like, get there, stay there, don't let anyone move you from there. I play squash, and there's a bit in the court, if anyone does play squash, called the tee, which is the middle of the court. And the aim of the game, basically, if you want to win, is you've got to get there and stay there. If you're here, you control the game. If you're on the back wall, running from side to side, you've probably lost the game already. So get there, stay there, remain there. Now I need a very strong volunteer. Child, preferably. Yeah. Maddie, your task. This is Maddie, isn't it? Yeah. Your task is to remain in there. Now I need 4 volunteers. Darcy, Caitlin, Amelia, Chloe. We're going to be gentle. But Maddie, what they're going to do is they're going to try and get you out of the circle. Yeah. So, and you've got to remain there. Stay there. Don't let anyone move you as long as you can. Yeah, so at some point, you'll be out of it, okay? And then we might have another turn depending on how it goes. So I'm not expecting you to stay in Britain, because that would be very crap. And everyone else would be very bored as well. Okay, 3, 2, okay. Okay, go. We're going to try and move somehow. Can you try and stay there, Maddie? Remain, stay there. Don't let them move you. Yeah. Oh, drag. Stay there. Keep it with you. Go on, Zach. Go pull the hoop. You've got to stay there, Maddie. Come on, remain. Which is doing pretty well so far. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, whoa! Well done to both of you. Great job, well, Maddie. Go sit down, thank you. Now you've got the point. Remain. Get there, stay there. Don't let anyone move you from there. And that's effectively what a Christian has got to do. You've got to take up squatter's rights in Jesus and say, I'm going nowhere. Get there, stay there. Without Jesus, you'll be lifeless and fruitless. And I just want to talk briefly now about implications for a few different groups of people. Different parts of our world as we look out. So firstly, we're going to talk about what this means for our world, the kind of non-Christian world, if you like. We're going to talk about what it means for our children. We're going to talk about what it means for our church as Christ Church, and then what it means for us as individual Christians. So firstly, implications for our non-Christian world. And here I'm talking really to those kind of here looking in on the church and those of you who are part of the church looking out on the world. That is everyone. Looking in or looking out, what does it mean for our world? Well, firstly, it's quite clear, is it really is binary, faith in Jesus. It's black or white, this or that, you're in or you're out, disconnected or connected. Now, we, no matter how kind of much you're kind of looking in, investigating, effectively it comes down to, are you in Jesus or are you not? And at one point, you'll come to think, yes, I trust him. But until that point, it is in or out. And of course, it's sobering, isn't it? Verse 6 is a really sobering description of what it means to be disconnected from Jesus. It's this kind of dried up, shriveled branch that is actually just becoming more and more disconnected from its life source. Its vitality is draining. And it's becoming more and more useless, not more and more fruitful. And we know where it ends, in the fire. And that is just really a sobering picture, isn't it? It's an image, but it is sobering enough to say that is what it means for our world. So if you're looking in, it's so good to have you here. But my basic plea is, and Jesus' plea is, get plugged in. Get plugged into Jesus. Join into Jesus. He is where life is. He is where fruit is. So if you're looking in, that is what we want for you, because that is what Jesus wants. But if you're looking out, well, yes, stay plugged in, but get praying. Get praying. If we look at the world and see it is this or that, then it really does matter. Implications for the world. No one can just go, huh, doesn't matter. That's what it means for our world. What does it mean for our children? Here I'm speaking to parents, I'm speaking to family members, I'm speaking to Sunday school leaders, I'm speaking to grandparents, anybody connected to children, who knows any children at all, and children. I'm talking to you as well, and to teenagers, everybody. What does it mean for children? Well, firstly, it's just worth saying, children, that no one is born kind of plugged into Jesus, connected to him. At some point or other, you're going to have to think, will I come to Jesus in faith myself? So that's a question just to have in your mind. I don't just inherit it from other people. Will I come to Jesus myself? So that's for the children, but adults, it's just worth saying, isn't it? You'd never expect, and we thought, Angela, was crazy to expect light to come from a disconnected bulb. You'd also expect someone crazy to expect fruit from there. And yet sometimes we can expect a child to live like a Christian before them actually being a Christian. So it's not to say we should be judging or kind of working out where they're at. It's to say that our biggest goal in when we're teaching them, talking to them, discipling them, is that they are connected to Jesus, not just copying him. So Sunday school teacher or parent or anybody, our role is to point them to him in faith and trust, not just to tell them to follow what he does, to trust him. So just a helpful corrective in that sense. Without Jesus, we'll be lifeless and fruitless. So we want them to trust him, to find faith in him. Implications for the church. Here I'm talking to leaders, staff members, rota members, prospective members of the church, members of the church, visitors of the church, anyone. And I think it's just a few things. It's just like, it's a corrective to pride, isn't it? We look back and think, where did that growth come from? Where did any success come from? And we say, Jesus. So we say, thank you, God, for any growth we see. It is not of our own doing. So a corrective to any pride. I say this to myself. It's a cause to pray. We think, we look back where growth has come from. Where will it come from? It's a cause to pray. And it should control our plans as a church. We have our Vision Sunday coming up in a few weeks' time. What are we about for the year? Yeah, what are we about generally? What are we about for the year? Well, without Jesus, any plans, preaching, programs, even the people, it will be lifeless and fruitless. Without Jesus at the very heart of it. That is our goal. And lastly, what about Christians? I'm talking to Christians. That means new Christians, veteran Christians, potential Christians, Sunday Christians, discouraged Christians. What does this mean for you? What is Jesus saying to you? Well, we can say, of course, for the Sunday Christian, how often we find ourselves longing for this kind of fulfilled life. And Jesus longs for a fruit-filled life. It's quite different. That's just to flag that up. Is that what he sees in you? But I want to basically encourage the discouraged Christian. Yeah, because we can think, I don't see any growth. I don't see any change. You don't know what's happening in my life. If you saw what I was really like, I wish I could change. Well, did you notice what Jesus said in verse 5? If you remain in me and I remain in you, you can, possibly, might bear, no, you will bear fruit. You will. So you think, I'm never going to change that habit. I'm never going to break that battle. And Jesus says, well, if you are in me, you will bear fruit. You will bear Jesus' fruit. You will listen to him. You'll love like him. You'll live like him. Be encouraged. And of course, to new and veteran Christian alike, your biggest goal is not to grow in any other kind of knowledge. It is to remain in Jesus. Yeah, so whether you're a Brexiteer or a Remainer, it's pretty clear that Jesus' one call, one vote should be remain in Jesus. There's no referendum on that. Jesus doesn't give you a choice. That is what you're called to do. And that is what you need to do. And it's good for you. So to close, it's clear, isn't it? Without Jesus, you will be fruitless and lifeless. And he says, headed for the fire of judgment. He says that. But with Jesus, you will be full of life and fruit. That is eternal life in John's gospel. To know the only true God. Life to the full. Beginning now, ending never. Beginning now, ending never. So what will it be for you? Children and adults alike. Beginning now, ending never. Will you plug in or out? Will you join in or out? Will you join him or not? That is the big question. And I'm going to pray for us now, and then we're going to sing our next song, which is really a song giving praise to God for life and praying to God for fruit. We're praying for both, for life and fruit. So let me pray, and then we'll sing. Father, it is a great challenge to us to see Jesus held up as the only source of life, the only source of fruit, and Christian or not, it speaks to us. We pray that you would not leave these words here in this room. Please send us back with them ringing in our heads and hearts. Please change us in response to them. Amen. Let's stand.